Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Do you ever see a headline and then you immediately felt guilty?
Like you could have done something about that specific story, or this is something that you've always had on your mind. I'm going to need you to be a little bit more specific before I take on guilt.
No, it's actually none of the above. So this seems so random, but a headline on USAtoday.com says, "Nobody wants this. It's a review. Kristen Bell, Adam Brody are electric and sexy." And it's like a new show that's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's a rom-com on Netflix.
All right, yeah.
And they're calling it one of 2024's best shows. Of course, that is hype. Who knows if this is a paid ad? I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I love Kristen Bell. She's very funny. And What's the other guy?
Adam Brody.
Oh, yeah, he's good. He was in Righteous Gemstones. Real funny.
Okay, I'm reading this review and it's making it sound so great. And here's what's going on in my head. I have to start watching this in secret. I have a thing with my 15-year-old daughter, Hayden, that we watch things together. I don't get to watch a lot of TV. So usually when we do a series together, it's a big thing. We look forward to it. We schedule when we're going to watch it during the week.
Snacks. We sit down. We make a plan.
Exactly. Right. We are not allowed to watch one show without the other person. It's a big rule in our house. And we're watching currently only Murders in the Building.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is Hayden's busy.
Right.
She's got a lot going on. She's a sophomore in high school. She's got a big workload at school. She's a theater kid. She's a stage manager for the play. So she spends a lot of time at school and theater.
So what you're confessing to me is that you need entertainment when she's not around. You can't wait for her.
Like sometimes she has theater until 9:30 at night.
Yeah.
And I want to crawl in bed at like 8 and watch something for an hour before I go to sleep. And she won't let me watch any of the things that we're watching. So I have to wait for her. So I'm thinking, I can just not tell her that I'm watching this.
Right, right.
And then I can watch it by myself, which feels very, I don't know why I feel so guilty about it.
Well, because it's a lie, number one, that it's completely underhanded. But so, I mean, the answers next, I think, will directly correlate to how it is that you're feeling and whether or not it's appropriate. So do you still watch it with her after and let her think you didn't watch it?
No.
Or when she mentions it, do you say, oh, I watched it without you, and say it in a tone that makes you feel, you know, superior in some way?
Only Murders in the Building or this new show that I might start without
this
her?
This new show that you might start watching.
I mean, I think if she asks me, I tell her.
If
but
she
I,
asks you directly, did you watch this show?
Right. Did you start watching this series without me? I'll be like, yes, I did, but we never discussed watching it together, which is why it's okay.
But what if she said, I think that we should watch this show next. I think it would be great. And you're already two episodes in. Do you go, I started? Or do you just go, yeah, that sounds fun. And then act surprised when scenes come on and make sure you have a hearty laugh at certain parts, whatever.
I don't know what I would do in that situation.
You know what? I caught my wife watching the new Menendez Monsters thing on Netflix yesterday. Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
They made a statement about it from jail the other day.
Yeah.
I was so hurt in the kitchen.
Wait, did she tell you she was going to watch it? Did she know that you wanted to watch it?
She just started watching it without me. And we always watch that type of stuff.
So you felt betrayed.
Yeah. And you know what she says? Every time I say, hey, I wanted us to watch it together, she says, well, we used to watch Gold Rush together. Gold Rush has been on for 17 seasons at this point. 15 seasons. She stopped like 12 years ago.
Why has it become so weird?
It's still an excuse. It's still okay.
I mean, I don't remember growing up and my parents fighting over watching shows without the other one. It's so strange. Hodakopi is leaving the Today Show early next year. And the reason why is very interesting. Listen to what she had to say.
I was doing the math and I realized that I have spent 26 years at NBC and I just turned 60. And it was such a monumental moment for me when I turned 60 years old, because I started thinking about that decade. Like, what does that decade mean? What does it hold? What's it going to have for me?
I thought it was interesting that she said that 60 was the point when she looked around and she said, what am I going to change or what am I going to do? And to be honest, she's got two young children. She had her kids late in life.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of it, too. She really wants to spend more time with them.
I mean, listen, she's obviously been hugely successful, mm-hmm. right? In multiple roles and multiple times, gone and then come back and so forth. So, I mean, you've earned the right to do what it is that you want to do. She obviously have avenues to pursue other things if she wanted to do it. So just get out there and explore a little bit.
Yeah, she's going to stay with NBC in some capacity. She didn't say what,
sure.
but she said like she's not completely gone or anything like that. But I was thinking that 60 was a trigger for her. So she turned 60. Mm-hmm. She looked around and she looked at her life and everything she had done. And she and if I follow her on Instagram and everything. I'm a big fan of hers.
Okay.
And I noticed that her posts recently are about finding the joy, mm-hmm. finding the little things.
More reflective.
Yeah, getting yep. out of the city and into the woods and being able to, like, the little
get
things.
Get in
like,
them woods
put
there,
your kids
up.
On a bus and things like that.
Sure.
What she wanted.
Little pleasures in life.
And I started thinking about, like, when do you have that mind shift, mm. right? Like, when do you, in your life, at what age? Because I think some ages are triggers for people.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think it was probably my late 20s. It was after really September 11th that I kind of got reflective about what it is what I was doing. I got out of the business for a good 6 to 9 months at that point, tried some different things. And then when I came back into kind of doing this, like I came back for different reasons. So it was, you know, kind of a clarity time for me at that point in my life.
I think, you know,
I'll follow Hoda into the woods, though, right now. If she's willing to pay for that, for me to do that, I will do that.
You know, they always talk about, like, when's your midlife crisis? When's yes. your midlife crisis? So the average age of a midlife crisis is between the ages of 40 and 60 years old.
Okay.
But most people change their careers and realize that they're not happy in what they're doing and they want to do something else at the age of 39.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really, really interesting. I feel, for me, I have an issue with birthdays. I've always had an issue with birthdays because it's, I always compare where did I expect myself to be by this birthday.
Oh, that sounds smart.
Compared to where I actually am.
I mean, my therapist would definitely advise against that, I'm
guessing. I'm aware it's not a healthy thing.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget, like, turning 30 years old, we were on a road trip. It was my husband and we had just my older daughter at the time. She was a year and a half years old. And we were driving through the night. My husband was asleep. The baby was asleep in the back. And all of a sudden, it turned midnight, and it was my 30th birthday, and this song came on. And big girls don't
cry. Wait a minute.
Don't cry.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that Fergie was your trigger for self-reflection and clarity?
Fergie comes on, Big Girls Don't Cry, and I thought, I am not doing anything I want to do with my life.
Oh, my
anything.
Gosh.
The next day, while we were on vacation, I pulled out my laptop, and I applied for so many radio jobs, entertainment and media jobs. That's how I got this job.
Wow.
It's so crazy. The ad was posted
on
Craigslist.
You mean Fergie didn't call for you?
No, Fergie didn't. Fergie was not hiring at the time. I wish she was, but she was not at the time.
Oh, my God. I mean, well, when you need clarity.
Sometimes those
think
ages,
Fergalicious.
Those milestone birthdays, they mean something. Crusher of dreams.
Oh, that's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that to your small child?
It's not that. You know when you were growing up and for some reason you came up with something in your head that you truly believed?
Oh, yeah.
And then as you got older, all of a sudden one day you realize, oh, that's not right. That's not real. And then you feel really dumb that you believed it for so long.
Snuff the candle of magic that is in a child's heart and mind, huh? Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
If you want to call in 1-800-330-9999, what did you believe when you were a kid and then you found out it wasn't true at all? I've had two instances this past week where both my daughters were very upset by the information I revealed to them.
Okay, what happened?
This is the first conversation I had with my little one, my first grader.
Dakota, what did you think was going to happen when your sister went to college in a couple years?
I was going to get a new baby sister.
No, mommy's not having any more babies. You're the youngest and that's it. There's no more brothers or sisters coming, okay?
Okay, yeah.
So she believed...
I mean, if you're a neighbor, watch out for your kids because Dakota may take one.
No, she honestly believed that when... So my older daughter's a sophomore in high school.
Yep.
She believed that when her sister went to college...
Cycled out.
Right.
That another one would cycle
in. She would get to be the older sister.
Right.
And that she would get a baby sister. And but the funny part was the little wheels working in her head.
Yeah.
She goes... She's listening. She goes, but then what happens when I go to college? You and daddy are going to live alone?
Yep.
And I said, yes, honey. And we call my parents, no, 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 no. I go, like, no, 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 live alone. We all used to live there, and now we went on with our families, and now they live alone. And she was so disturbed by this.
Yes.
She was like, she was afraid that we should not be able to live alone.
Now, I mean, she's probably right, right. Like, you know, she'll have to decide whether or not she feels comfortable with it at that point, of course.
And then on the flip side, Hayden, my sophomore in high school, so we've been talking about college a lot lately, which is why this even came up, and we were talking about how much colleges cost. So state schools versus private schools. So when I was telling her, like, these schools, some of these cost $13,000, some of these cost $30,000, some of these schools cost $80,000, $90,000, she thought...
A semester.
She thought it was for the entire year, like, for the entire 4 years.
Oh.
So she thought, like, Syracuse at $85,000 was going to be for all 4 years.
What a bargain.
Right, right.
Right.
And, like, in her mind, she thought that was a lot for 4 years. I go, no, honey, that's every single year.
Yeah.
So that was heartbreaking.
You're lucky it's not every 6 months.
Right.
Like, I mean, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Leah, how about you? What did you believe as a kid that wasn't true at all?
Okay. I don't know if everyone else's parents said this, but my dad, every time I would turn on the overhead light in the car, told me that it was illegal and I was going to get him arrested. And apparently that is not true at all.
I thought that was real forever.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that used to be a thing that they would say all the time. Be like, oh, we're going to get pulled over right there. And a cop will take notice if you're driving with your light on the whole time, your interior light, because what are you doing in there? You should be paying attention to driving.
Dakota did that. My five-year-old, she turned on the overhead because she had a book. And it was nighttime, and she wanted to, like, look at the pictures in the book.
Yeah.
And I almost had a heart attack. I'm like, you got to shut it off. She was like, why? I can't see.
Right.
I had to give her the flashlight on my phone. Like, she was some kind of investigative reporter.
I mean, I think a light in the back is different than a light in the front. But you know what? You're right. I mean, there's still a part of me that's like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still feel weird about it.
I remember being a kid and being fascinated with the Titanic story. And until they found the boat, like in 86 or whatever it was, like, I thought it was still out there sailing. I did. Like, I just didn't understand the concept that something could be lost that large, right? Like, I was like, oh, they must be out there, like, evading people.
Exactly.
You know, I didn't understand the velour painting yet, but, you know, when I look at it now as an adult, I'm like, where did I think they were? With, like, Tupac and, like, you know, Biggie and, like, you know, Frank Sinatra in that diner.
It'd be so much cooler if it was.
Yeah, but, you're right.
Yeah. What did you believe when you were a kid, and then as you got older, you realized, nope, that was a made-up thing that I heard somewhere that's not true at all?
Swallow enough watermelon seeds and you'd grow one.
Oh, in your belly.
Yes. Or if you swallowed gum, like, you would just, I don't know, blow up like that girl in Willy Wonka.
Yeah, it would live in your stomach forever.
Yes.
That you couldn't pass it. That's what the thing about gum.
Right.
Like, who made up these things that they became such universal things that we believed as kids?
Terrifying parents.
I guess.
Terrible parents that would tell us these things so that we wouldn't do them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we try and shy away from humiliation and fear to instill in our kids now to get them to do things. But I have to say, a lot of it was effective.
Yeah, my daughter, my five-year-old, was crushed this week because she believed when her older sister, my sophomore in high school, went to college in a few years, that she would get a new baby sister. And she would get to be the older sister this time.
A lot of ways it makes sense, right? There's a void, so obviously something has to go into that vacuum.
She couldn't understand. She's like, so she just goes and that's it? There's no replacement? I'm like, no, honey, that's it. This is our family. This is what we got. 1-800-330-9999. What did you believe as a kid that wasn't true at all? Mike?
I thought we were all given a phone number. Every single person had a phone number, and that was your phone number for the rest of your life.
Like your Social Security number.
Yeah. I believed that until I was 9 years old.
I want to believe that. I want to live in that world. That's why I've kept my phone number the last 20 or 30 years.
Me too.
I'll never change my phone number.
My phone number has been the exact same since I got my first cell phone when I was 19 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had this phone number since at least 2000. So it's pretty wild. Like, I mean, 2005 maybe?
Maybe even younger. It might have been young. I don't even remember.
Yeah. Pretty wild.
I did have a pager phone number, though, that sadly didn't transfer. That had to go.
Right. Had to give that up.
Nadia, what did you believe as a kid that you realized was wrong when you got older?
That being an adult was easy.
It's so sad, right?
Yes.
We're always in such a rush, right? And then you get there and you're like, oh, man, the benefits far outweigh the detractions. And some days you feel that way. And other days you know you're wrong.
I'd rather be an adult than be a kid again. I honestly didn't deal well with people telling me what to do all the time. So I don't know.
That's your reason for not being young again is you have a problem with authority.
Well, like, I remember, I grew up in like the strictest of strict Italian houses. Yeah. Like, I wasn't allowed to do anything. You know, like the first time I slept out of my house was when I went to college. Think about that. Mm. That's it was like to have a little bit of freedom. It
and
felt
she
good.
Married him. No, I'm just kidding. Not the same situation.
All right, Bobby, what was something you believed as a kid that you realized was wrong when you got older?
In elementary school, we had this this dare guy come and tell us that if you drank alcohol, that holes would go into your brain. So I thought that there would be a literal hole through someone's head if they drank alcohol. Come to find that is not how alcohol works at all.
You know, if they had told me that, I probably would have better behaved in my 20s.
You know,
they could have kept that secret going for a while.
They do this thing now where, like, they don't want you to... I don't know how to say this without... Remember, this is your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's like they were frying the egg.
Shock value.
Yeah.
Right, they don't want to shock
They don't want to shock kids anymore. I remember that. Like, you know, any time that you were faced with something like that, I was like, I don't want my brain to be fried.
Yeah,
I don't want my brain to look like an egg.
I like eggs, but no, right.
And those are the things that stay with you, even though, like, now I feel like it's so frowned upon to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, a healthy dose of fear, right? With your facts. I mean, heck, you know, let's go on 70% fear, 30% facts, 80% fear. You know, whatever. If you're trying to be effective early on, I don't know. I'd kind of stick with that theory myself, too.
Imagine having to tell your wife that you spend thousands of dollars on tickets to a concert she doesn't want to go to, specifically told you that it was for old people and not worth it, and that you just did it anyway.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened with Raven and his wife, and then he had to figure out a way to tell Alicia that he did it and he bought these tickets.
You know, I just want to give you a little bit of context here, all right? Here's the thing. I have missed Elton John. I missed AC/DC. Tom Petty went and died on me. So, I mean, I've missed all these different shows that I'm never going to see here on a bucket list. They're not like, you know, shows that I would technically go and rock out to like back in the day. They're just things that, like, you know, I wanted to see or whatever. And on that list is Billy Joel. And it's the last, like, you know, real tour. And he's playing stadiums, and he's playing a small place near here. And man, them tickets are like four times more expensive than anything I ever paid for before in my life.
And you didn't tell your wife that you were going to buy him, even though you knew she didn't want to go.
I mean, because if she heard the amount, she would have definitely at least talked me out of it or naysayed all of it. So, you know, last night, I figured it was the perfect time to spring it on her. We went to the fair, and she loves the fair. And so, you know, I figured I'd catch her off guard. I thought that would be a good plan.
We got our sausage. We had some Thai food. I think that, like, maybe we get the stuffed baked potato. We had the flight drinks. You get the apple crisp. By the way, I spent $1,800 on Billy Joel tickets.
That's how you did it?
There was all sorts of noise going on and whatnot. Yeah. I figured it would just sail on by her.
Oh, good.
Did what?
I said we could go get the apple crisp right after the Demolition Derby. It'd be great. And we're going to Billy Joel.
Who's Billy Joel?
Now you know who Billy Joel is. I did a thing. I got tickets for Billy Joel. It's the only time he's going to be around. It's a lot of money for the tickets for Billy Joel.
You immediately start apologizing. You know what's going on.
Yeah, but for her to be like, I don't know who Billy Joel is. I was like, come on with that nonsense, right? So, you know, it continues, obviously.
You're excited, right? You loved it when it was on. You were like, I don't want to watch this. This is for old people.
Right. I need new carpet in the family room.
No, we don't need carpet. Carpet is a farce. It's a hoax. Nobody wants carpet anymore.
And decor
true.
In the basement. And we're going to Billy Joel for $2,000.
And the hotel was $800. At the Hyatt. They're hardy.
We could also move the washer and dryer, relocate it for that price.
You know what? Let me just stop here for a second and interject, if I may, Anna. Mm-hmm. Why does everybody always revert to the house is falling down around us? But the house is actually not falling down.
I mean, you can get new carpet for under $3,000. And you can
move
the washer and dryer.
I hate carpet, though. I don't want carpet.
So. You want to spend 3 hours instead of Billy Joel?
Oh, man. I mean, but think about it. Is the washer and dryer going to sing A Matter of Trust or Piano Man to you?
I know one Billy Joel song.
Which one? Piano Man.
About the river.
Oh, that's the River of Dreams. No, you definitely know Piano Man. We didn't start the fire? Huh? Come on. Those are so great. Easy Money? Oh, you probably don't know that one. But, you know, a few songs.
Yeah, Easy Money.
So excited.
Questionable content on that one. The River of Dreams, a very proud moment. That video was filmed near my town.
Wow.
Very proud moment.
So ultimately, what happened?
I mean, I'm still married.
So that's good.
Yeah.
So it worked out all right.
I mean, I have the tickets, right?
Did she say she's going to go with you?
She didn't, she didn't elaborate on any of that yet, but I told her at least that part of it is over.
Right, the hard part's over.
That's right.
Now it's the ball's in her court.
That's right.
If there was a poll, how many people do Pizza Fridays? I think a majority of Americans probably would jump on that bandwagon, right?
I mean, there's definitely at least one day of the week that I do pizza, Monday or Friday. Sometimes it's both.
Yeah. Joining us, six-time Emmy-nominated chef, Chef Plum. You can find him online at chefplum.com. Check out his podcast there, too, Plum Love Foods.
What's up, friends? You say there's one day a week for pizza. I think there's every day.
Well, right.
Pizza's the jam.
You know, like, my dad's a pizza guy. Like, he owns pizza restaurants.
Right.
And we can tell you, Friday nights are insane. That's the night that's the craziest for us since I was a little girl.
Yeah, it's like the relief you give yourself after working all week.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I bought a pizza oven at my house, which was like my favorite thing ever. And you know, it's just very simple. It's the dome with the stone, and we make a big wood fire in it, and we cook pizzas. It's the best.
Nice.
Okay.
And it's so easy to do at home. But there's a couple of things I think people should know, a couple of tips you should know when you're making pizza at home, right?
Okay.
Which isn't hard. First of all, your pizza sauce, don't overthink it. It's not marinara sauce. It's pizza sauce. There's a difference. You don't cook it. Open your can of tomatoes. Get good tomatoes. Spring for the San Marzianos. They're the best ones. It's going to cost you an extra dollar. Get those. Add a little olive oil to it, a little garlic to it, and salt, and don't do anything else. You know, you can finish it with basil, all that sort of stuff, but don't do anything else to it. Blend it up or keep it chunky, whatever you like, but don't cook the sauce. It cooks in the oven.
Okay. Very, so you're saying to use to smash up the tomatoes from scratch and not buy any of the pre-made sauces at all?
I wouldn't buy a pre-made sauce, no, but you don't have to. Well, I mean, smash them up. You could just get like a can of tomatoes. Not a can of pizza sauce, a can of tomatoes. A little olive oil in that, a little bit of garlic, a little bit of salt. Blend it up. If you want it nice and smooth, you want to keep it chunky, don't blend it up. But that's your pizza sauce. It cooks in the oven, not in a pan. Remember that. Very important. So many people think marinara sauce and pizza sauce are the same thing. Very different.
Okay.
Your dad would tell you that, too.
I know.
So, if you're doing it at home, why stray away from those jarred sauces? Are they going to mess with your flavor?
It's just better to make it. I mean, it's so much. It's not hard. It's easy. Make it yourself. It's so simple. And super famous pizza places that have some of the best pizza in the world, like, it's just tomatoes. It's not even a sauce.
Interesting, because my friends give me, because I always joke, like, I would never buy a jar of tomato sauce.
Of course not.
It's so easy to make a sauce.
So easy.
And I don't think people realize how easy it is, because if I can do it, anybody can do it.
I've watched your cooking skills. I'm actually questioning whether you can do it or not. But say so. I believe you. So next, let's talk about how the cooking process is going to be, right?
Okay.
One of the funnest ways and easiest ways to do it is on a piece of equipment that we probably all have, a grill. Right?
All right.
You don't have to have a pizza oven. You can have a grill. And a couple things you can do. You can do it right on the grill grates itself, or just get a pizza stone for $12 from Amazon and put that on top. Take your grill, keep one half of it hot, one half of it not. That's the easiest way to do it. And that way your grill kind of becomes an oven. Key point, heat it up. Make sure it's nice and hot before you start cooking on it.
Do you have to grease the grates of the grill before you put it directly on?
So I hate the term grease, first of all. It sounds like my mom's talking to me.
Oh, you know what I mean.
Greasing the grill. Make sure you grease it up. Yeah. It's a terrible connotation.
Well, what am I supposed to say?
Oil it.
Lube it up?
Jesus.
No.
Right. Oil it.
Okay.
But no, not at all. If it's nice and hot, it doesn't have to. You want to cook that dough ahead of time just a little bit. So what I do is, if I'm doing it on the grates of the grill, I actually get it nice and hot. I'll put my pizza dough over the grill. It cooks before it can fall through. And then I'll flip it, right? So then I actually make the pizza on the side that already cooked a little bit. So it's nice and, you know, crisp all the way through.
Interesting.
Yeah, it works really well. If you don't have that, an oven at your house works fantastic. Just get a pizza stone in there. $12 from Amazon. Makes it so easy to make pizzas at home all night long.
All right, check out Chef Plum for yourself online at chefplum.com. Listen to his podcast, Plum Love Foods, and follow him on Instagram.
@chef_plum.
Kids beat Raven.
All this week, kids have had their chance to go head-to-head against Raven in pop culture geared towards fifth graders. Ethan, you ready to play?
Yes.
How old are you, Ethan?
10.
All right. Are you ready to do this and take Raven down?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do it. Can you please?
Ethan, it's Friday. No mercy. No mercy for you.
Okay. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck.
I don't think he believes that, Ethan. All right. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. He's out in the hallway. I'm going to ask you 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. But this week, for Kids Beat Raven to win this Target gift card, ties do go to you, Ethan. All right? Do the best you can. You ready to play?
Okay. Yeah.
Number 1. Deathstroke is the biggest villain against Robin, Raven, Beast Boy, Starfire, and Cyborg. Those 5 heroes are also known as what?
Teen Titans.
Number 2, Dora the Explorer was rebooted earlier this year. What is the name of Dora's monkey best friend?
Boots.
Number 3, earlier this year, a new Pokemon series titled Pokemon Horizons premiered on Cartoon Network. Pikachu is what elemental type of Pokemon?
Electric.
Number 4, what is the name of the dragon in the movie How to Train Your Dragon?
I don't know.
Number 5, Charles Martinet, the beloved voice behind Nintendo's cheerful Italian plumber Mario, has retired. Mario's arch nemesis is King Koopa, but he's also known as who?
Bowser.
Let me bring Raven back in. That was really good, Ethan.
Yo.
You don't have a shot. Not even a little bit of a shot.
Come on.
4 out of 5 for Ethan.
All right, Ethan, let's see how I do. Maybe today they're super easy.
Number 1. Deathstroke is the biggest villain against Robin, Raven, Beast Boy, Starfire, and Cyborg.
Nope, not easy.
Those 5 heroes are also known as what?
Oh, wait a minute. Is this Teen Titans?
Yes.
Yeah!
Yes.
Woohoo!
Number 2, Dora the Explorer was rebooted earlier this year. What is the name of Dora's monkey best friend?
Boots!
Yes.
Yes.
Look at you.
Jaden's watching Dora the Explorer now. Okay.
Number 3, earlier this year, a new Pokemon series titled Pokemon Horizons premiered on Cartoon Network. Pikachu is what elemental type of Pokemon?
I mean, what? What does that even mean? Earth.
No, he's electric.
Oh, totally.
Yep.
Right. Elemental. What?
Yeah. Number 4.
Okay.
What is the name of the dragon in the movie How to Train Your Dragon?
I don't know. Bob?
Bob.
Yeah.
Toothless.
Oh.
Well, you've already lost. But let's do number 5. Charles Martinet, the beloved voice behind Nintendo's Italian plumber, Mario, has retired. Mario's arch nemesis is King Koopa, but he's also known as who?
Toad dude. Toad dragon dude, right?
No.
Dragon toad dude.
No, it's Bowser.
Yeah. That's, well, I'm spun out now.
Yeah.
All right, whatever.
Ethan, congratulations. You beat Raven 4-2 today. That's going to get you a Target gift card.
Thank you. I'm Ethan, and I just beat Raven.
Good job, Ethan. I'll play your dad in about 30 minutes if he's up for it.
Ethan, thanks for playing. And if you want to sign up your kid to play next time we do this round in a few months, you can just head to annonraven.com. Coming up in about a half hour, the adults will go head-to-head against Raven in pop culture trivia, and today's jackpot is $1,200. The one thing that I love to do when the holidays are approaching is buy all the hottest toys before everyone else does, so then when they sell out in the stores, we can sell them at a profit.
Come on. You're not really going to sell them for a big profit, but you will have the toy that everybody's after when everybody else is like, I had to get the knockoff, or I had to get something else.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Hatchimals being a big thing. The Elmo that danced, PS5, I still think it's a big thing, right?
Oh, yeah. When it comes down to that time of the season, it's coming with some bonus thing. There's always somebody that wants it more than you.
Ali Merjeski is joining us. She's the editor-in-chief at the Toy Insider, and they just released their 19th annual Toy Insider Holiday Gift Guide. Ali, what are going to be the hottest toys this year that everybody's going after?
Hi, yeah, oh my gosh, there's going to be so many, I think. At the Toy Insider, we really like to say that, you know, toys aren't really one size fits all. I think especially lately where people are looking for toys that really match their kids' interests, mm-hmm. and with all the added content that kids are consuming, it seems that kids' interests are super diverse these days. Of course, there are those ones that are going to sell out that a lot of kids are going to have on their list, and we feature a lot of them in our Hot 20 toy list in our gift guide.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the breakout star already here in the month of September is the Miss Rachel toy line.
I feel like Miss Rachel is richer than probably most CEOs in this country.
Last time I flipped on Miss Rachel, there was like 6 new people on the show. I was like, what's happening with all these salaries here? I feel like this has turned into a family-run business. It's her, the neighbor, the friend. They're all getting paid.
Good for them.
So Miss Rachel is definitely blowing up in a big way. And there is a full line of toys that are just so great. They're so interactive. They're ingrained in the content that kids are watching. I think that Spinmaster did a really beautiful job with this line, and they put it on pre-order last week, and it sold out immediately.
Oh, no.
You can imagine.
Yeah.
I should have called you a month ago.
Well, it's hitting stores on September 29th, so it should be in retail stores then.
Oh, this is a lot of tension. All right. I'm ready.
Yes.
So a lot of our hot list also features kids' favorite characters. You know, we see playsets from Batman, Godzilla RCs, a really big, beautiful Paris Heroes playset from the Miraculous brand, which is more geared towards older kids and teens. Play-Doh. We have a Play-Doh pizza delivery scooter on our hot list from Hasbro.
Oh, my gosh. Look at this thing.
It's like a little kid-powered scooter that they can ride on, but the back is a Play-Doh pizza oven.
It's a starter food truck for your kid.
I want to do this. I wish Easy Bake had it, because if the kid was actually pulling up and making me pizza, I mean, I might buy him two of those things. But that's probably better for safety reasons.
It's better for safety reasons, and it's good for reusability. You can make the pizza over and over again with the Play-Doh, so it's really good. You get a lot of play value out of that. Of course, multiple kids can play with it, so that's a really good pick.
Mm-hmm. Sad part is I only get to eat it once.
The one last thing I wanted to point out on this list is we have the Play Pose the AI Story Bear from Skyrocket Toys on here. And I just think that it's a really smart and safe way that toy companies using that buzzword AI, that new technology that's really popular in the world, in a safe way for kids.
Raven, I know you haven't seen the teddy bear yet that the AI goes along with.
Okay.
I'm staring at it right now. He remarkably looks like Ted. And to think that this teddy bear is going to have AI capabilities.
Oh, yeah, he could be taken over, so he could have split personalities.
All I keep thinking is, like, this teddy bear is going to come to life, and in the middle of the night, it's going to be standing at my bedside staring me in the eyes.
I promise you it will not.
Okay.
It'll just tell you a nice bedtime story. Very safe, very fun. But it is very cute and very lifelike.
I'm going to remember that you said you promise.
If you say so. Ali Marjeski, editor-in-chief at The Toy Insider. You can see the full list of the hot 20 toys right now at thetoyinsider.com.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
What did you do this week to earn your margarita? 1-800-330-9999. As always, it doesn't matter if you're a mom or you're a dad or what you did, but it's not easy to get through the week, and this is your chance to vent.
Time to reward yourself.
All right, Megan, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
I finally washed my car.
That's it?
Yeah.
I mean, did you do it by hand? Did you go to the car wash? What did you do?
No, I just took it to the drive-thru, but it's been sitting there, so it was a big task for me.
I went to the drive-thru car wash, without exaggeration, for the first time in 3 years last week. 3 years. 3 years was the first time I went.
I never go. I tell you what, I went and I used the free vacuums this past time that I did it. When's the last time you did that, Anna?
Never.
It took me like 8 minutes to figure out how they work. So in case you don't know, you just walk up and pull the thing right out of the nozzle. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I had to wait to see somebody else do it like across from me. And then I was like, oh, that's how that works. And as soon as I pulled it out, I was like, this thing's going to be garbage. It was the best vacuum that I've used in my car forever, topping my shop vac. It was totally good. I was like, these are the best. I'm pulling in there from now on, even when I'm not washing the car. I'm going to vacuum this whole thing. Real nice.
All right. Well, congratulations. You can get a margarita. How about that?
Thank you.
Also, it would be great if they had a place that you could have a margarita at the car wash. I'd go there more often then.
It feels like kind of
a liability.
Oh, right.
No, that doesn't make any sense because you're just there short and then you have to drive. Never mind. Yeah. We'll take that off. Never mind. Enid, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I took a wrong turn, which is very fun, but I was picking up my kids from their little soccer camp thing that they do, and they gave them Oreos, but they only gave one of them Oreos, and they were fighting over them in the back seat, so it just made the situation so much worse. I made a wrong turn, and they shut down one of the lanes in traffic. So, you know, like, the person's there with the little sign, and they don't let you go. So I'm, like, making eye contact with this man, like, please. Please turn the sign to slow and let me escape this road. And I felt so stupid. And the kids were screaming and yelling at each other in the back about this stupid Oreo. And then they dropped it. And then they were fighting about who dropped it. So, yes, I think I deserve 5 margaritas for my mistake.
You survived the drive home. I mean, I don't know about traffic in your area, Anna, but it's every day.
It's chaotic.
It's all the time. Yeah. When you got two hangry kids in the back there, I guess that's one thing, right? They can get very expressive. That's the word that I use now.
They can, and you can't get mad at them. I mean, I get hangry kids.
Oh, I can get mad at them. No, I can 100% get mad at them. But the way Jaden expresses himself when he's hangry, Anna, it's not regular. It's not normal. He just screams, looks dead at you, and just screams. In a, hey, respect what I'm telling you type way.
I can't figure out what's more hard to deal with. When my little one, my five-year-old, gets hangry, which is often, or when my husband gets hangry, which is also often.
Really?
Yeah, that's why I'm the mom that always has goldfish in the back seat and a granola bar in my purse, because I just have to handle all of them.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to take that advice and just keep Oreos back there.
Yeah. I would certainly say keep more than one. But there's nothing worse than when you're running late for something and you make a wrong turn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's like you're already running late. You have it down to the minute. You figure you're only going to be 4 minutes late. And then all of a sudden you make that wrong turn or you're not paying attention and you go the wrong way. And all of a sudden now you're going to be 11 minutes late.
But it always feels like they're doing it on purpose that day to you. I get it.
Yeah. It's personal.
Well, enjoy your margarita.
One couple.
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband. I guess I don't really have a choice, so.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. The Couples Court. It's powered by Secret Whole Body Deodorant. Some secrets are okay to tell, like how using Secret Whole Body Deodorant gives you 72 hours of freshness and more than just your armpits. Use it in sticks, sprays, or creams. It's Maddie and Jim. Maddie, let's start with you. What's going on?
So our neighbor is saying that our fence is 13 inches into their property, and I really like them, and we're going to have to live with them for a really long time because of our mortgage, so I don't want to start a fight, but my husband does.
I like that you say it's because of your mortgage. That's why you have to live with them for a very long time. Jim, what's going on?
It's not that I want to start a fight with the neighbors. I just, see, neither of us surveyed the property, and the line is kind of, you know, I think it's in one spot, they think it's in another. But in order for it to put it in their slot, we're going to have to move it 13 inches into our property. I called the company. I asked how much it was going to be. It's going to be about $4,000. I think, you know, if we wanted to split that cost, but he wants me to take the whole $4,000 myself. So what am I supposed to do? Be like, yeah, I'll pay $4,000 for our friendship? I don't think that we need to do that.
Well, did either of you have it surveyed?
No, neither of us did. We're just going off lines that we got, you know, from the property value or the property when we got the blueprints.
Yeah, from the town hall. I get it.
There's a couple things that you have to consider here. Number one, I don't know any fencing company that puts in a fence without a survey, without somebody that's come out with a surveyor there. So they may, in fact, actually be partially liable for this situation. On the other hand, this is a situation where as soon as one of you hires a surveyor, there's a winner and there's a loser. So either you're stuck for none of it or you're stuck for all of it. So possibly having a conversation or trying to come to some middle ground beforehand might be a better way to do it. Like some sort of addendum where it says, well, you know, we'll take this sliver, you take that sliver of land even as possible. Or, you know, who maintains the fence or, you know, who's in control of it. It's irresponsible for a fence company to put one up without one. But again, you might not be happy with the result if you get a surveyor out there.
I just don't understand why neighbors do this. Like when you're not talking about an acre or even 500 feet or something. You're talking about 13 inches.
Mm-hmm.
That you're arguing about that's going to cost thousands of dollars to change. What are you going to do with that 13 inches?
I mean, but what's right is right. What's mine is mine. What's yours is yours.
But if
and the
neither
thing
of them,
is it could be a problem down the road, too. You never have any idea.
But if neither want to pay for a surveyor, then what becomes the answer? I understand why Jim is like, no, well, then sue me. If he doesn't want to pay for it.
They sue you and they get a surveyor and you lose, then you're paying for all of it.
Well,
and their court fees.
I just think we should pay for it, move the fence. I want to have a good relationship with the neighbors. Our kids play with each other. We're going to live by each other for a long time. I just want it to be over.
Doesn't cost anything really to rip it out.
What would you do in this situation? Would you just move the fence? Would you hire the surveyor? Or is Jim right? If he doesn't want to pay for it and he can't prove it, then that's his problem.
1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court.
Imagine you put up a fence based on where you thought the property line was when you bought the property, mm-hmm. didn't think there was any issue. And then your neighbor comes and says, it's 13 inches on my property. You have to move it. And it's going to cost you like $4,000 to do that. And neither of you want to pay for a surveyor.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sticky situation here, right? Because, I mean, on the one hand, Maddie does make a point. These are our neighbors. Our kids play together. Like, you know, we're supposed to have a relationship for the next 10, 15, 20 years together is the way we see it. Jim, on the other hand, is like, whatever. He's like, come on. I filed the paperwork the best way that I saw fit. I got to tell you, Anna, when we put a fence on our property, the first thing the contractor was like, you're pulling permits, right? And mm-hmm. you've got a surveyor coming out, right? And they came out and looked right as the surveyor did his job.
My husband put up our fence. He certainly did none of the above.
What?
None. It's, none of the above.
It's wild to me.
He put up the fence where the old fence was. And I remember our neighbor saying, like, you know, that's not the property line. But you want to know why? He didn't say move it 12 inches the other direction either.
Yeah.
But what would you do in this situation? Would you just save face and move the fence to be able to have a relationship with the neighbor? 1-800-330-9999. Ed, whose side are you on?
This is not your neighbor, trust me, if he's doing this. I go with a guy who doesn't want to pay. If you want me to pay for this, I'll pay for it. If it's mine, I'll eat it. If it's not, you're going to eat it, and we're no longer friends.
Right. So basically you're saying it's put up or shut up. This guy, if he's got a big enough complaint, he should hire a surveyor.
Yeah, of course. Why not?
And not for nothing, but you're right. That's not your friend. Like, you want to keep like good face with the neighbors, but if they're saying move your thing 13 inches, in my mind, you're dead to me at that point. That's it.
You weren't even born.
That's right. Right.
You weren't even born.
Playing naive here. Wow. Thanks for the call.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. What do you do when you have a fence and your neighbor comes over and says, that is 13 inches on my property, but neither of you want to pay for a surveyor? Ha. The couple's court verdict is powered by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/AnnaAndRaven.
It's a sticky thing when you're dealing with neighbors, right? Because you want to have a relationship that's good. It's healthy. They say their kids play together. Maddie really likes the neighbors. But you know what? Jim says, I'm not going to do $4,000 over a dispute to keep somebody's friendship. This fence, it's here. What's the big deal? We're talking about a foot one way or the other. And could be right, could be wrong.
And the fact that they don't want to pay for a surveyor, I mean, I can understand both sides why you don't want to pay. It's not like a cheap thing to do, but then what happens?
You know, it's interesting, though. You know, as a homeowner, you think you've learned all these lessons here and you know this stuff and things make common sense. I'm learning things through these calls, no question about it.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Howard.
Well, it's not about a side. It's if the neighbor that's having the problem with the encroachment says that her land or their land was being taken over. Unfortunately, if they saw the construction occurring and they knew about it and they did nothing to stop it or inform the contractor, it's 100% that neighbor's fault for not telling them to stop. So if they benefit in any way, or if they have anything that happened on their property and they were home, they observed it, they saw it. Even if they had a question in their mind, is it on my property or not? And they didn't say anything, it's their fault. And they're responsible for having it moved.
You know, that's very interesting. I think this is something that they did before the other neighbor got there. But still, that's a very interesting point.
Well, imagine, like, you go away on vacation and you come back a week later and the neighbor built a shed on your property.
Right,
you know?
Right. I mean, things like that have happened. Thanks for the call, Howard.
Thanks, Howard. Gina, what do you think?
Well, actually, there are laws that govern this, only because I went through this. About 40 years ago, my father owned a fence company, and when he purchased the home, he had moved the fence line up on our side more, 3 feet, because he feared that there was going to be homes being built behind our house down the road, and he wanted to leave enough of a border where he could put bushes to block out any building that might be going on.
Okay.
We never did that, but what happened was when we sold the house last year, the new people that bought the house had the house surveyed and realized that they owned that additional 3 feet that my father pulled the fence back.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried to explain to the new people that lived behind us at the time, because now they did build, that we want that property back. They took us to court for the 3 feet, and we wind up, or the new owners wind up losing, because they said after 7 years, that land gets forfeited to the state.
Oh, my gosh. They gave up the land.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
I know. While I agree with the husband on this, if he waits a little while longer, he won't have to do anything because at that seventh year, it's nobody's land anymore.
You know what? Imagine that's a twist.
He's got to avoid his calls for 7 years.
Just running it out of the house with his head ducked. Right, right.
Right, thanks, right. Gina. Either that or be really nice to him for 7 years.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jim, our audience agreed with you. If he doesn't want to pay for a surveyor and he just wants you to go on his word, that's not fair, and you have an argument. Now, you may take this forward and lose, but a lot of people felt that that was dice that were good to roll. See what happens.
Yeah, that's right. I could get a surveyor out and win, so who knows? I'll face this and see what happens.
Good luck. I hope that you are on the right end of that. If you think that he's going to push to sue, at that point it might be better just to get that surveyor anyways, because if you lose that argument, then you're going to be paying his court fees. But look at the timeline. That could be a factor. When did this fence go in? When did he get there?
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you have a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,200. Thanks to Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters again with Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system. All right, Kyle, it all comes down to you today. Can you take Raven down? Please ask him to leave the room.
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, man.
All right, Kyle.
Thanks, bud.
Here we go. We got $1,200 on the line. Raven's walking out of here. That big studio door is going to close, and he's not going to be able to hear us. I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. Kyle, he'll come back in the studio, get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes, ma'am.
Here we go. Number one, Ben Stiller will direct a pickleball movie. The movie is called A Pickleball Term, when a soft shot is hit that is intended to arc over the pickleball net and land within the non-volley zone. What is that called?
No idea.
Number two, Reese Witherspoon announced an open casting call for the prequel to Legally Blonde that they're creating. What was the iconic character that she played in the original?
Oh. I can't remember.
Number three, fans paid up to $1,000 for a Bridgerton experience in Detroit on Sunday, but they said it was as bad as that Willy Wonka event earlier this year in Scotland. Bridgerton is based on a novel series by what author?
I don't know. I'm losing it.
That's all right. Number four, a Bluey stuffed animal is now available at Build-A-Bear. What's Bluey's sister's name?
Bingo.
And number five, Hoda Kotb is leaving the Today Show early next year. She says she turned 60, she was ready for a change, and she wants to spend more time with her young children. Who is her co-host for the first 2 hours of the show?
I have no idea.
All right. That's okay, Kyle. You give it your best shot.
Yo.
One out of five.
Not great. Thank you. Makes it easy for me on Friday.
They were hard, though. They were hard today.
Okay, let's go.
I wanted you to lose. Okay.
Let's see.
Number one, Ben Stiller will direct a pickleball movie. The movie is called A Pickleball Term, when a soft shot is hit that is intended to arc over the pickleball net and land within the non-volley zone. What's that called?
A dink.
A dink.
Yeah.
Yes. How did you know that?
Pickleball champion over here.
Number two, Reese Witherspoon announced an open casting call.
I watched The Golden Bachelorette.
For the prequel to Legally Blonde that they're creating. What was the iconic character that she played in the original?
Elle Woods?
Yes.
Yes.
Number three, fans paid $1,000 for a Bridgerton experience in Detroit on Sunday, and they said it was just as bad as Willy Wonka event earlier this year in Scotland.
I thought it looked beautiful.
Bridgerton is based on a novel series by what author?
Easy, Stephen King.
No, it's Julia Quinn.
Oh, that's not even a real person. Stephen King's a real person. He writes books.
He writes all sorts of books
for everybody in the world.
That's not true. Julia Quinn wrote the entire series of Bridgerton.
Well, you know, congratulations to her. Big deal.
Number four, a Bluey stuffed animal is now available at Build-A-Bear. What's Bluey's sister's name?
Bingo.
Yes. And number five, Hoda Kotb is leaving the Today Show early next year. She said she turned 60 and she's ready for change, wants to spend more time with the kids.
Audi 5000.
Who is her co-host for the first 2 hours of the show?
Oh, isn't it Kathy Gifford? No.
If it was 20 years ago, Raven, talking about?
No,
Savannah Guthrie.
No, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Savannah Guthrie is their first co-host. And then later on in the show, in the 10 o'clock hour, she's with Jenna Hagar.
Is Kathy Gifford still out there doing it?
No.
Oh.
She retired, which was with Regis. After all that, she's done.
Poor Kathy Gifford.
All right, Kyle, 3-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna on Raven t-shirt.
Thank you so much. It's Kyle, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $1,300 bucks come Monday, Anna.
And I want to thank Isabella. She supplied one of the questions I used today. If you ever have an idea for a question, too, submit it at annaandraven.com.